Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Glenn Kellaway from Kellaway Mortgage Architects. He's a mortgage broker. You have a website at Mortgage It Right. What is the website?
Oh, it's www.mtgitright.com. But if you just put in Kellaway and the word mortgage, there's only a couple of us in Canada that have anything to do with mortgages, and I'll show up. That's Kellaway with a K.
Glenn, is it true financial institutions are automatically extending mortgage amortization periods as interest rates rise?
That's a great question, Jim. The answer is categorically no, because the amortization is set when the contract is taken. So if it's a 25-year amortization or a 30-year amortization, that is set. However, what's happening now with some variable rate mortgages, and we have to be careful there because certain lenders will use the word variable, but it's similar to what all other lenders are using in adjustable. The mortgages that I'm talking about are the ones where the rate will change inside, but the payment stays static. And there's a couple of credit unions, there's a couple of major financial institutions that have this static payment variable. And when the interest rate, the prime rate, goes up by a quarter point, the amortization inside, if you looked at the math, extends by a year and a couple of months. So a half point jump is a 2 year and about 4 months, 5, 6, 7 months of extension. So we just rounded up to 1 year and about 4 months. So the last 0.5% rise, if no one with those static payments increased their payment, and I'll talk about that in a moment, then they would have seen on paper their amortization go from a 30 year to a 32 year and say 8 months. So that's the rough math on it. If they want to stay on pace with that, and that's a whole other conversation about whether you want to pay your mortgage off faster or not. Maybe you're putting your money somewhere else, but if you wanted to, then you need to increase your payment. And it works out to about $13 per 100,000 per 25 or a quarter of a point or 0.25% increase. So the answer to this is no, they're not changing the underlying paper, but functionally, some mortgages are getting an extended amortization. The downside is, at some point, they'll have a rate reset, and that's where the interest rate that they're paying on the total payment, remember, a payment is principal and interest, the interest they're paying reaches that gap, and the payment no longer covers the interest. We're going to have to get into 6% prime before that really starts to happen.
Glenn, what can people do to shorten their mortgage amortization periods?
There's two ways, Jim. One, they can increase the payment. The increase in the payment can be done by switching from a monthly payment or semi-monthly payment, that's twice a month, to a biweekly accelerated. And that'll get them an extra month of paying their month of payment coming right off the principal per year. So simply increase your payment by 10% or switch to a biweekly accelerated would be a way to reduce the amortization or pay the mortgage off faster. The second way, which is probably a better way, is to save up some money. And if you don't need it at the end of the year for investing or something else, put a prepayment on your mortgage. Many lenders will allow you to do that with every payment. Some lenders are only once per year on the anniversary date. But that's anywhere from 20 to 30% of the mortgage balance. So that's a lot of money you can prepay. And that money coming off the principal will then allow you to reduce the total amount. Your payments are still the same. So now you're paying it off faster because there's less money to pay off.
Glenn, are you getting panicky calls from clients saying, oh my God, my mortgage is about to go up $800 a month?
Not yet. Yeah. Most of my mortgage clients are in a static payment mortgage. There are a few that are in the variable rate or adjustable rate mortgage, and the adjustable rate will go up. So they've gone up. The other thing that's going to happen now is people are coming out of a 2% fixed rate, and they've 5 years less on the amortization, but they're looking to go into a fixed rate mortgage at their renewal, and the rates are now in the mid to high fours. So that's a big jump, and that jump could be a 20-25% jump in terms of their payments.
Are there still decent mortgage rates to be had?
Jim, I think the question you're asking me is there a good rate for someone who has 10% down, a 700-plus credit score, and is buying an owner-occupied property? Yes, there are. Rates are specific to the property type and use, so owner-occupied versus rental, the amount of down payment, 20% or greater or less than 20%, and sometimes the geographic location and sometimes the credit score. So there's a bunch of things. There's actually three buckets of lending. There's insured. Someone's going to pay a CMHC or Canada Guarantee, a default insurance premium, because they're less than 20% down and less than $1 million purchase. That's you're finding few houses, apartments in Vancouver less than $1 million, but a lot of houses are north of $1 million and they don't fit that bucket. That same insurable, if you put more than 20% down on purchase, you'll have a different set of pricing. And the uninsured doesn't qualify for the CMHC, 30-year amortization, more than $1 million, has a different set of pricing. So there's three different sets of pricing there, plus rental properties are slightly priced up in terms of mortgage rates. So is there good rates for mortgages? Absolutely. Different lenders have different pricing, and some are quick close, 45 days. So they're typically priced better than the other lenders.
Are you able to help people save money that have already locked in or variable rate mortgages?
Yeah, so if they've locked in their variable rate mortgage, they have now taken a fixed rate. And if it's a one-year fixed rate, we can look and see where they might be able to move that. If they're in a variable rate and they haven't locked in yet, that's a discussion to be had as to what makes sense. But if they've locked in, they're going to be staying there for the course. And if they locked in at the beginning of the pandemic when rates were low, that's a great deal. Right now, we've seen the interest rates climb about 2% since the beginning of the, well, since the bottom end of where we had fixed rates and the bond rate was at the lowest it's been in many, many years.
We're hearing interest rates are likely in an uptrend into early next year with a possible 50 or 75 basis point rise at the upcoming meetings of the Bank of Canada. What are you hearing?
It's the same thing we're hearing right now, and we heard that they were going to go up a 0.5% and then potentially another 0.5%, which they've only done a couple of times in the past, and then followed by a reduction because the market did a turn. It's likely they're going to do that. But Jim, the other thing is, what's happening with the stock market? What's happening everywhere else? The housing price is flattening. Yeah, are we going to be looking into a recession? The question is, and then I think your question really is, do we stay with fixed or we go with variable? That's really a question. And what happens in a downturn in the economy is the fixed rates slump, they fall, because the bond market drops. And the Bank of Canada then lowers their overnight rate, which lowers the prime rate. So now the variable rate mortgage go down. So are they going to go up? Yes, I would think they're probably going to go up. Is it the right time to lock in, I think, was your question. I'm not so sure. It depends on the individual and what their longer term plans are.
In theory, is it better to buy a home when interest rates are low or high?
Well, that's an obvious one, Jim. I think we all would like to pay less for something or other. Let me get that Porsche in the driveway for $10,000 or the Beamer. It's not going to be advantageous to buy when the price is high on anything, whether it's tomatoes or real estate. The challenge right now is if you need accommodation and you're spending 50% of your income on shelter and you can buy shelter for less than what you're spending on that, you can qualify, then maybe it makes sense for you to occupy and own a piece of real estate. The market may turn and go down, and then you may be in that property for a few more years than you anticipated, because not everything goes up on a straight line, always up. It goes up and down. But if you're going to lock down and set up so that you can build wealth in the future, and instead of paying someone else's mortgage, you're going to be paying down yours, building equity, it makes sense to buy. It just depends on whether it's the right time for you now.
We'll have more with Glenn Kellaway right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Glenn Kellaway. Glenn, how is it a benefit when we have low rates?
Well, low rates are going to provide the general public with two benefits generally. The first one being the mortgage payment, when set with a lower rate, is going to have a higher proportion of that mortgage payment as principal reduction, because there's both the rent on the money interest and the principal. So that mortgage payment is going to pay down the mortgage faster because a larger portion of that payment is principal. The second thing that happens, sometimes, not always, is the stress test rate, or the rate in which that borrowers have to qualify for the mortgage, currently set at 5.25, and we can talk about that in a bit, tends to be lower. So those two factors will allow clients to borrow more and qualify for more, but also pay that balance off faster. So yes, great to buy when the rates are down.
Do rates in the mortgage market only move when the Bank of Canada rate changes?
That's a great question, Jim. The rates in the mortgage market move when the bond market moves. So there's two parts of the market. There's the variable rate part, which is set by the Bank of Canada setting the overnight rate, and then therein setting the prime rate. Every bank, TD, Scotia, RBC, they all have their own prime rate. And most of those prime rates are identical to the Bank of Canada prime rate. So that's the variable rate market, and the fixed rate market is driven by the bond market. And as the bonds go up, they need to have a spread off of the bond, and therein the rates go up. So this big movement we've seen of about 2% from early 2020 till now is really the bond rate moving on the fixed rate side. So that is what's driving those rates, and then the Bank of Canada has decided to increase the overnight rate, or the wholesale rate, and that will then has increased the variable rate mortgages. And that's the short-term borrowing, and that's meant to slow down people from borrowing on their credit cards or lines of credit and everything else. It's supposed to reduce us as consumers from going and consuming more, to slow down the inflation in the market.
Does rolling credit card debt into a mortgage make it easier for people to service debt?
Yes. We often will see people carrying, not much, but we do see people carrying $10,000 on their credit card, or $20,000 between credit cards and lines of credit. And from a lending calculation of the ratios scenario, that $10,000 is equivalent to a $300 payment. That's what the lenders are required to. On myself as a mortgage broker, I need to put that $10,000 line of credit or credit card as a $300 a month payment. You might only need to make a $100 payment to your bank or credit union on that card, but for the purposes of qualifying for a mortgage, that has to be factored in as a $300 payment. And that $300 payment is probably worth about $10,000 of borrowing. No, $100 of that is worth about $10,000. So that's worth about $30,000 of borrowing. So if we roll that in to the mortgage, or we use some of your down payment to pay that credit card debt off and have a smaller equity position when you buy, you can qualify for more. Because there's two parts to that borrowing. One, the shelter cost, and then about 4 to 5% above the maximum shelter cost is the all costs. So really, if you looked at your payments and the way we need to calculate them, you can only have about 4% of your total income as servicing all of those non-mortgage debts.
Are a significant number of high-end luxury homes carrying significant mortgages?
I get to do a lot of million-dollar mortgages, but people are having, they have significant, shall we say, equity positions, somewhere in the order of 50%, 60%, 70%. 50% Some people have more, 60 or 70%. And now, if we look back when we were doing financing a year ago and a 40% increase in the overall values, their equity position has got larger. So the mortgage has stayed the same. It's been paid down as it is, but they're not taking out more money to buy things. Remember, you still have to debt service that at the new interest rates that are coming up.
During a debt bubble, is the best place to be on the sidelines with no debt?
Absolutely, Jim. I think pretty obvious on that one. If you're sitting on the sidelines and the market is going down, as it is right now, we can look in the, say, the tech space, and you see opportunities for valued investments, you want to be sitting on the sidelines with no debt or the ability to borrow to go step in and buy something other that's of value, or use your cash to go buy something even better that's of value. Whether that cash is coming out of the equity in your real estate or it's coming from a bank account, I think it's better, and you don't have debt. It's the best place to be because you're getting value at a low price, and then you sit and wait.
As home prices drop, how important is it to be financially defensive to survive the downturn?
I think we've seen this before, and we've talked about using strategies to prepare yourself for a recession. And one of those things to do in advance of the recession, in advance of the home prices falling, is to look at your debt, look at the equity, don't wait till the end of your mortgage maturity, see what you can do. If the equity's there, tuck it into the mortgage, because a 18% credit card debt or a line of credit running at 6 or 8 or 9%, because it's unsecured, can be tucked sometimes into the actual mortgage debt. You can get a rate now in the mid-4s for fixed, mid to high 4s, or the variable rate mortgages are still running about 3.2 to 3.5%. So they're less than the fixed rates, and you can save on the interest and then not have that payment going out and stretch things out to 30 years so that if there is, as we've seen with some of the economies across Canada, a job interruption, which I don't foresee happening, that you can maintain, survive the downturn, and then stockpile some cash, make sure you've got some savings, some fallback room in case there's an interruption in income.
Glenn, anything else you'd like to add for people who are worried about this interest rate kind of thing that we haven't seen for the last 30 years? Interest rates have done nothing but fall up till now.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, Jim. The interest rates have fallen. We've become accustomed to the, shall we say, abnormal market, abnormally low interest rates. I would say, you know, historically, if you look back, interest rates in the 4 to 5% range are more normal than they have been. And I've been in the business for going on 22 years now, and I got in the business. We saw interest rates falling from 6, 7%, 8%, and they dropped. And they've been up, and they've come back down, and they've been up again. But we've been seriously spoiled having interest rates less than 3% for an extended period of time, in my mind.
Glenn, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
My guest has been Glenn Kellaway, founder of Kellaway Mortgage Architects. Your website?
Website, you can find it at www.mtgitright, or just put the word in Mortgage It Right and Kellaway, K-E-L-L-E-W-A-Y, and you'll find me.
If you have any questions for Glenn or any of our other guests, we'll ask that question for you if you send it to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.